intentional number one thing to do for a blended family so they can be successful when there's so many different dynamics coming into the picture.
All right, we'll get to that. Hey, Dr. Randy here. Did you know 113 million Americans have a step relationship in some way, according to Pew Research? You know, could be a step brother-in-law or step spouse. In fact, approximately one third of all weddings in America today form step families, not to mention all of the I'm not getting married crowd who are just living together. Ron, our friend Ron Deal from Family Life today said that non-traditional is the new traditional. That's the term, non-traditional today. Families, including families with single parents, single adult households, cohabiting parents, step families, they now outnumber the so-called traditional families, those of us who are married and, you know, we have our kids and under one roof. 1,300 new step families are formed every day in America. That's filling a big church auditorium every day. 40% of American families are now blended. And so we know, because I've been around the country and had a lot of conferences talking to a lot of blended couples, that you all, God bless you, have wonderful stories of what's worked for you, what's not worked for you, how you were surprised in good ways and difficult ways. And I tell you what we're going to do today and in the afterglow as we record the show for next week, I think. I want to open the phone lines to you in here just a moment. And if you're in a blended family and you want to share one thing that would help that caller that you just heard, one thing that's worked for you, what is it? One thing that you've learned. Let's get real here now, okay? I know this is a difficult journey for many, and I want to hear from you. Phone line is open, 888-888-1717. Here's the deal. We got a new phone system was just hooked up, and Mr. Dean, our engineer, is here going to make sure it works. But I understand when you call, usually you get the operator says, press this and do that and so on. And because they just hooked it up, there's only one number working. That's number one. If you want to talk to me, press number one. If you press any other number, you go into oblivion somewhere. I don't know where. But anyway, the phone line's open. 888-888-1717. One thing for your blended family.
Hi, my name is Chris. I actually have a question. First time I've heard this show, and I'm about to get married next month. I'm a single dad. I raise my two daughters, and I'm about to get married to a woman that has three children. They're all young. They're ages from four, and the oldest is 11. We both really try to live a Christ-centered life, but we're having trouble finding any information on, you know, what we should be doing as far as blending the family seamlessly in Christ. We both feel at peace about everything, but we just can't really find a lot of information. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, we'll tell you what we're going to do for you, and I'm glad you're listening, a brand new listener, and for thousands of others around the country. We're going to just open the phone line and hear from people who are living it, and they're going to tell you what works, what doesn't work, and how we can be intentional in our faith walk in blended families. Let's go. 888-888-1717. Sounds like agreement's part of that. Anne from Florida, thank you for your call. What have you learned about blended families?
My husband and I have now been married 21 years, but this is a second marriage for both of us. I have four children, and he has three. And when we got together and got married, we had the seven teenagers at one time.
And wow.
When he got home from work, as probably happens in most households, there's been disagreements with the kids, and the kids would come running, and it was like, oh boy, we've got to do something. So we excused ourselves from kids and said, give us 5 minutes alone. And so we went to the bathroom because it was the only place that would be private. And we had a 5-minute bathroom meeting.
I hope you had more than one bathroom in the house.
Oh, yeah. But we did that because we needed to make sure that one child was not going to say, well, you know, your Anne's kids did this and your kids. And so they wouldn't try to work up, you know, one family against the other to the parent. And we always came out with an agreement. This is how we're going to handle it. And we showed a united front. And for blended families, it's so hard.
Oh, absolutely.
Very hard. But it also helped us in our marriage to always come to an agreement, you know.
Seven teenagers at one time. I'm stuck there. Seven teenagers.
Yeah, it was something.
How did they all get along with each other?
Well, they really had a good time most of the time, but boy, when there was Armageddon evening, you know, there really were some tough nights. And to any family that tries to blend families, it's not easy, but it can be done. And so now we look back and laugh. It was a sweet, sweet union. So 21 years later.
Well, what do you say to someone who's thinking of getting married? You said a lot already, but one thing that you have learned with having a blended family and seven at one time.
I'll be honest with you. We dated for 5 years. We took a lot of time. The kids had to work through a lot of issues. Now that sounds like a crazy amount of time, but we needed that time because they had issues. We had issues to work through from past marriages. So I'd say get in the center and take your time.
Yeah, boy. That's good advice. Thank you. Appreciate it. What advice you have? Blending families, what's worked for you? 888-1717. Let's get biblical here for a moment. You know, it says in the book of Psalms, Psalm 133, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. And that's true in the church. That's true in our Christian community. But if you have a Christian family and it's a blended family, it certainly works there as well. So unity would be one of the top five list of things that are essential for having a good blended family. Sylvia, I want you to add to that. Appreciate your call from Arizona. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, and yourself?
Good, good. What have you learned? What do you want to share about blended families today?
So I came into, I remarried and came into the marriage with three other children from my previous marriage, all teens at the time, or young adults at the time. And what worked for us was that he first of all introduced himself as, "I'm dating your mom, and I'm not here to replace your dad." And he slowly started to learn about their likes, their dislikes. He would ask about their jobs and what they like, and vice versa, my children to him. And slowly, as he would come into the home while we were dating, he just earned their respect, and they earned his and his trust. And ever since, we're going on 3 years married now, ever since, my kids have really come along. They see him as a friend, not as an intruder. So that helped us get along. And to this day, we get along really, really good.
That makes it easier for you too, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And we are Christian, so we all go to church, but he really respects what they like. If they're having a bad moment, he doesn't try to scold them or anything. He listens to when they have to vent a lot. And after that, then he says, "Well, you know, in my opinion, this is like what I would do." And as, you know, not as your father or as your stepdad, is this is my opinion on how I would do these things. And then that gives my children time to think like, haven't tried that.
Yeah. And, so, and when that's,
and that helps them also make.
That's right. And when that's done, Sylvia, with respect and like, not like you need to do this or you have to do this, but hey, you know, just a thought, if you're interested, here's something I've learned. I'll be praying for you. It does show that level of respect and love for the kids, which is important. All right, 3 years into it, we pray that you get many more. Thank you, Sylvia, for your call today.
Thank you.
All right, God bless you. You know, we are focused here at Intentional Living on helping you have those intentional relationships. We call these high-stake relationships. High-stake relationships are relationships that if you gamble in the wrong direction and you lose big. You lose big if you choose to get involved in pornography. You can lose big if you choose to get involved in an affair. You can lose big in a marriage if you choose to be cruel or angry or abusive. And obviously, you can lose big and everybody loses big. I call these high-stake relationships. And there are three things that we are really, really intentional about here. We believe that we all need the strong glue of love and commitment. That's a glue. But you know what? Even though we say love's enough, it's not enough, because you may have deep love for your spouse, and yet you're not dealing with issues when it comes to parenting or finance or other things. So not only do we need that strong glue of love, but we need the refreshing water of respect and encouragement. Man, that's important. That's critical. That's what we're going to be hearing a lot of today. But even then, you can have respect and you can have love and you can still have disagreement when it comes to things in a marriage. So if you really want to have an intentional blended family, please listen. You need the oil of agreement and action. You need the oil that breaks up the stuckness or inertia that can happen in a family when we can't agree on raising kids, spending money, dealing with in-laws. You start naming it. It's exacerbated because when you get into a blended family, the stakes are higher. There's more history you're dealing with, and the cogs of the wheels that make the machinery of a blended family work can easily get stuck without the oil of agreement, and then taking daily action. That's really critical. And so today, as we talk about how in the world do we make a blended family work, you're going to see a theme of love and respect and certainly agreement. 888-888-1717 is the number. Let's go to Johnny in Arizona. Hey, Johnny, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, sir? I heard your show when I was going on my lunch break. I'm out here in New Mexico, and I thought the young man that was just speaking, that's getting ready to enter, you know, into that, you know, that new right. journey in his life with like a blended family and the children. It just took me back 2.5 years ago when I was getting remarried for my second time, and I have a 9-year-old and a 5-year-old, you know, son and daughter. And everything that you were saying with like the machinery, the blended family machinery, it mm-hmm. needs oil. 'Cause if you don't, you're going to get stuck.
That's right.
And, you hit it on the head. Some of those main components, love and respect. Oh my gosh. Those are like some of the founding pillars of making a blended family work. But, if I could say anything to that gentleman that was, that called in earlier, getting ready to enter the blended family, if you will, it would be the premarital counseling. So when I went through my counseling, it was about 16 weeks long. And if we could have talked more about the granular problems or questions that are going to arise, I wish we could have done that. And I'll give you an example. So like when an expense like comes up, right, for like my kids, and whether or not, you know, if myself or my, you know, new spouse thinks, hey, the custodial parent should be paying for that because we give them child support. And it's one of those things where you got to have those tough discussions in advance, so that way you've already identified how you're going to address them when they come up. So any type of like problem sets, whether if it's with children, with money as it relates to the kids, I definitely think take some time to invest into that marital counseling, so that way you can talk about those hard things, that tough machine, if you will, that's going to need extra love, extra respect, extra oil, if you will, sir. To really, you know, make it work, because love is intentional. Being a blended family, it is about being intentional sure. with like love and respect and, you know, the fruits of the spirit, whatever you want to call it. And if you're not exercising and operating in the fruits of the spirit as you try to work through a blended family, everything you said, sir, is correct. It's not going to work.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely true. That's right. You got to have the love, which is a glue. You know, love is a glue. You don't have love, you got a problem, because whenever problems come up, if I don't love you or care for you, then I'm going to think of myself. You got to have respect. Without respect, I mean, we just know what happens in a relationship. But then that agreement, like you said, hey, what if? Maybe someone should come up with the top 10 what if questions for blended counseling sessions. What if you need an expense that's going to come up and you believe that the other yep. spouse should pay for it? What if they butt in this area? What if, you know, these are the things that will make it easier. How have you worked through those things?
So it's definitely been some trial and error. You know, the scripture about being quick to listen, mm-hmm. You know, slow to speak, slow to anger. that's definitely been one of my anchor points besides, honestly, like staying in the Word, encouraging my new spouse to stay in the Word, and doing my best to, you know, be that example in front of, like, the kids, like, whenever they're with me for, like, my designated weekend. But see, as far as, like, working through those intricacies, again, it goes back to, like you said, that list of, like, how are we going to handle this or how are we going to handle that? And another example would be is when something comes up with the kids, you know, should the step-parent be included on, like, maybe it's email traffic being courtesy copied, or, you know, if it's text messaging, like, you know, hey, is the step-parent going to be involved in that information process, and just identifying that in advance? Because my experience has been earlier on when I tried to, you know, include, you know, my new spouse, you know, into the circle, if you will, with the custodial parent, it definitely posed some challenges. And I think if I could have gone back in premarital counseling and just said, hey, look, until the machine gets oiled with, like, you know, oil and love and respect, if you will, until that machine gets really worked out and we kind of work out the kinks, I need your support. I'm requesting to allow me to take the lead in dealing with matters as it relates to the kids. And as, you know, and as the custodial parent, you know, becomes more fond, if you will, of the new parent being involved in the circle, if you will, to kind of just support me by my side, not behind me, but by my side, because that's my equal. That's my other half of my one, if you will. So I would just say kind of have that worked out, like, in advance, because if you don't, you know, it's easy for, you know, someone to get offended, someone's feelings to get hurt, and whatever the case may be. And then you lose focus of what it's really all about.
That's right. You lose focus on the important stuff. All right. Thank you, Johnny. Appreciate it. From New Mexico. He gave you a lot of good advice there. He really did. Hey, I'll give you some more. This is right from the Bible. 1 Corinthians 13. Love. We talked about love as a glue, right? Love is, I'll just tell you what it is here. It says it's patient. It's kind. How you doing so far? Come on, how am I doing so far? It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. I hear a bunch of groans and ouches going on out there, right? Because this is tough in a blended family. It protects, it trusts, it hopes, and perseveres. Some of you are saying, couldn't he have left that out of the Bible? But seriously, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that's a few verses starting with number 4, what love is. And by the way, love is more than a feeling. It's an action. It's a decision, right? I mean, obviously, hopefully there's a feeling with it, but feelings shouldn't drive you, because you know what? Feelings can lie to you a lot.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Something that everyone will experience in life is pain. In Dr. Randy's message, The Purpose of Pain, you'll learn even though pain is a problem, when you understand its purpose in your life, you can actually gain freedom.
Pain is a troubling problem for humanity, and yet, without pain, we'd have no grasp of the contrast with health, or peace, or success, or meaning. For it's in the pain that we're able to see how dependent we are on God and what His blessings are all about in our life.
With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group with unlimited access to this message, along with more of Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now and receive these life-changing resources. Call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, by the way, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for stepping up and being a part of the Intentional Living Center and our ministry around the world, online, through our radio program, podcast, events, publications, and so on. You're making it possible. And when you join us, we make sure you get access to all the teaching from the Intentional Living Center. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on donate or call. during West Coast business hours. Our team's right here. They love to talk to you. Great people. 888-888-1717, press number 2. Very nice people, right? Even if they're having a bad day, they're nice people. here's a quote. Step-parent, and maybe you don't relate to this, but it kind of points out one of the issues that we hear a lot of with blended families. Step-parenting is a lot like working at a late-night convenience store. You have all the responsibility and none of the authority. And some of you understand that in terms of, you know, here's my husband's kids or my wife's kids, and we don't agree, and I'm really not in a position of authority. And here I am saying, hey, you need to be the lead parent, the lead dog with your kids, because that's who they're going to respect. And the new family member needs to be supportive, and they need to close doors and talk about issues behind closed doors. But that's one of the issues. And whenever I ask people, they generally tell me blending a family was tougher than they thought. And that's understandable. But I'll tell you what, these are the three things that I mentioned here at the front end of the show. The glue of love, the refreshing water of respect and encouragement, and the oil of agreement and action. And if you can have all three of those, you're in pretty good shape. If you only have one or two of them, it's not quite enough. You really need all three. You need the opportunity to have that love and commitment. You need that water of respect and encouragement. And then, of course, the oil that really keeps the cogs of the machine going. Because let's face it, a family is a machine in many ways, and it can easily get messed up. And if you get a bearing not working, you know it can squeal. We got one right now in our washing machine at home. Strangest thing, by the way, on that washing machine. It only squeals when there's a light load. A heavy load, it doesn't squeal. Somebody needs to explain that to me. But anyway, you know, if you don't have the right oil in the cogs of your family, your blended family, God's loving, patient oil with agreement and action, you're going to have some squealing going on. You really are. All right. We're talking about blended families. Let's go to Emily in Missouri. What's going on with you today?
Well, I'm a child of a blended marriage, and I just wanted to call in and, you know, give my little piece of advice to parents that with young kids, and particularly with parents that have lost a spouse, and that's the reason why they're remarrying. My father died when I was about 11, and then when I was about 16 or 17, my mom got remarried. But I have to say, it was really difficult, but the thing that got me through it the most was, and still is, seeing the way that my stepdad loves my mom.
Yeah.
And the way that he allows her to love my dad still.
That's been important to you, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been really good, and it's been really important to my entire family to see that and be allowed, like, to still love my dad, still talk about my dad with my stepdad. And he's curious, and he likes to learn about him and who he was. And that's really important to us, and also to the grandchildren and the family too, because they still get to know my dad and learn about him and love him through the rest of us.
Boy, that's a great perspective. I appreciate your call, Emily, today from the perspective of a daughter growing up in a blended family, and the fact that her history was with her dad who's gone, and the new man coming into the scene may not have known him, and yet we had enough. What did we talk about? Respect? Didn't we say that? Yeah. Had enough respect and understanding, maturity, and awareness to say, hey, you know, I want to help my stepdaughter here, this young lady in my life, to know that I care about what's important to her, even though maybe in your own mind you're thinking, well, we got to move on. That's great advice. All right, time quickly here for Leisha, I think, from New York. What's going on?
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. You're listening online on your phone today, huh?
I am. Yeah, I got my kiddos outside with me. We're listening.
Fantastic. Now, how did you find us?
Oh, I always listen on my apps. It's playing all day long, so you guys come up constantly.
Well, fantastic. Well, I'm glad you're listening in New York, and howdy to the kids today too. So,
yes.
All right. So, are you a blended family?
I am a child of a blended family.
Okay. What would you like to share? What have you learned?
So my one thing would have to be, I was started a blended family about 11 years ago. I'm 29 now. And I would say my one thing would be for parents to spend time with your children. My stepdad did not have any children, so we didn't have to worry about any like siblings coming in. We did feel very abandoned by our parents, that we didn't have the attention on us. So if I could recommend anything to any parents of blending the family, like take time and spend it with your kids, because it does cause a lot of heartache and we do feel distant from our parents. So that would be my one thing.
Now, if I'm doing the math right, you must have been like a teenager, 16, 17, 18, something like that?
Yeah, that's right.
And so you have siblings. How old were they?
My brother's 3 years younger than me, so we were like in high school, you know, he's kind of going into high school. So we were, you know, older teenagers.
And so it was your mom that remarried or your dad?
Actually, both my parents remarried.
Okay, so and then they got busy with the new arrangements and you felt sort of isolated or left out?
Yeah, my parents didn't have a very good separation. They are friends now, but they did get, I think, involved with their new relationships. And my dad actually does have children. He's younger, so it was very much revolved around her and not me and my brother because we were older. So we did get definitely put on the back burner.
How did that impact you as far as that critical time you're transitioning, you know, to young adult into adulthood? Did it cause you some disruption in your own personal life?
Oh, definitely. We've always been faith-based, but there was definitely a time where we were not close to God at all. We kind of were running to things that would give us attention at that time. I mean, you're a teenager, you're exploring the world, and I thank God every day that we have amazing spouses now that my brother and I can look up to and lead us down the right path of faith, and our children as well now, too.
Some good advice from a couple of young ladies there who grew up in blended families. I'll tell you what, we got a lot more calls here ready to go, and we're inviting you to come on in and join us. We're going to just stay here right here in the Intentional Living Center for the next 30 minutes and record the show, which will air next Monday. And so you can call. Here's what we want to know. Maybe you grew up in a blended family. What advice do you give to those going through it, or you're in one now? Give us a call. 888-888-1717. Thank you for your prayers and support. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living, a ministry of Intentional Life Media.